This week during my devotional time, I was reading one of my favorite devotional books. It's Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest. And on Tuesday, there was a word that really, I guess you might just say, for in my explanation, I'd say me. You know, you can put it any term you like to put it in. A little overdraft. There you go. But it's just something that really spoke to me because it helped me visualize exactly what God says to people. And sometimes what he's saying is difficult. It's not what you want to hear. It's not what you envision that God would say. Everybody wants to hear Jesus and mom's sweet voice and how much I love you, and which he says all the time. And there's nobody that's any more loving than Jesus. But there's nobody that's any more honest and forthright than Jesus was honest and forthright. But in that passage that Chambers used on that morning, came out of the Gospel of Luke in the 18th chapter, and it's a story about what we call the rich young ruler. But the statement that was made in the 22nd verse, he says, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast. Come and follow me." I don't know about you, but that would be one of the biggest things and the hardest things I think you could ever hear. You know, when you're a young man, and this man was, he was wanting to be devoted unto Jesus, but Jesus knew something in his heart that he really didn't speak to. And he gave him something to me that was extremely difficult to bear. And I don't know about you, if God's ever said something to you that was hard. Has he ever said anything that really, as he said it to me, you know, he never asked me to sell all that I had because I didn't have anything. I didn't have to worry about that. You know, but there are things that we have that God speaks, puts his finger upon. And on that day, in that devotional time, Chambers makes this statement. Have you ever heard a hard word from God? It's a great question. Have you ever heard a hard word from God? And then he answers it, as all good preachers do. If you have not, this point, I question whether you have ever heard anything from him. You see, that's how Christ is. He's straightforward. He doesn't cut us slack when we don't deserve it. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit was supposed to do? Isn't that what he does every day in our lives? He's there to comfort you, yes. But he's there also to lay out before you what it is that God wants to do in your personal life. And that brings to my mind the things that I'm asked all the time. What is God's will? Well, I have a question to give back to you. And many of you have asked me that question. How do you know God's will? Well, I want to ask you a question about that very thing. Is God's will your will? Think about that. Is God's will your will? Recently, I asked you to do some things, and things that I feel like God has guided me to bring to our church. Things that I felt was extremely important for the growth of our church, for the changing of our church, for things that God would say, we need to move on. We need to go on for him. We need to get out of this box. We need to move out into our community. We need to offer something. And the one thing that I asked you to do was pray about it. Now, I believe this is what God has spoken to me about. I think God pointed it to me particularly because of who I am in the sense of a leader. Leaders have an issue at times. I have an issue. My issue is this, that sometimes I run ahead of God. I readily admit that I do that. And I know it's a shortcoming. I know it's something that God will say to me. I have an answer before God asks the question. Now, you've never had any of that, I'm sure. You've never run in front of God. You've never jumped to the cause and made everything happen and then sit there and go, okay with you, Lord? You know, after you've got it done. Lily's moved on to the back room, but she's always going to say this to me all the time to Grandpa. She always says, can I tell you something? Well, what I want to tell you is this. You never get a chance to say no, be quiet. Because she's going to tell you no matter what, but she learned that she's supposed to preface that that deal just exactly like that. Everybody's got an opinion, right? All of us have something to say about that. But how many of you have formed your opinion based on somebody else's opinion? How many of you jumped in on the wagon and moved forward in something only upon the opinion of somebody else, but that opinion came from a person, not from God? When God speaks, we know. When God says something, he wants us to be. How many of us have been influenced by people to the point that we have a set of principles, and they're good principles? I'm not saying they're bad principles, but they're man-made principles. They're not God-made principles. Oh, they're based on what God said to a great degree, but then we enhance it because we don't think God covered it well enough. So we change the way that we look at things, and we try to add these to it. And they say, well, this is what you've got to do. But they're not distinctly God's things. They're a man-made thing. Churches have been run by that for years. They answer to that all the time. You can't do this, you can't do that. Show it to me. Just lay it out before me in the Word. I want to see it written in this Word. Then I can believe it. Then I can put my faith in it. You know, Jesus made a comment, and it was recorded, and it happened back in John's gospel in the second chapter. John said, this is important, I think I'm going to record it. He had come into the temple area, into Jerusalem, and he had performed all of these miracles. And the Bible says, or John writes down, he says that the people around him said, I believe in Jesus. I believe on his name. But Jesus makes a very interesting comment about that. And he says this, he did not commit himself unto them, for he knew what was in man. What is in us? You say, oh, the miracles were great. I'm going to believe and I'm going to follow and I'm going to do all these things because I saw a miracle. And that's who I'm going to believe in. Jesus, I can't do that. I'm not going to do it because I know what is in man. Jesus always went to God first. What do? We take an opinion poll. We ask each other what it is that God said. How do we know this is what I'm supposed to do? That's why I'm asking you, is God's will my will? Is it what I need to be doing? I know that's what Jesus did. He always went to God. He trusted in what God had to say. And that allowed him to believe that God's grace has been extended to you and to me. And it is true. We have God's grace. I want to encourage you today that God's grace is upon us and that his will has been made known to each one of us. And you can trust that in your own life if you insist on going to God first. And that's why when you're asked to make up your mind about something that concerns our church or concerns your own personal life, what's the first thing you should do? You ought to ask the Father. Pray about it. You ought to seek out it. You ought to insist in God answering it. You know what happens when you ask a man and you follow and you insist that a man has it? Can I tell you something? Men never will be, never have been completely right. Only Jesus has been right every time. You know why I always say men are stupid? Because my wife told me to say it. Sometimes I do follow what she says, but most of the time I just kind of ignore it, move on down the road with that stuff. Nah, she'd never say that. She doesn't like that word. I just use it when I want to use it. A couple years ago, I had the privilege of getting to go to the Holy Land. I stood in the Garden of Gethsemane. I knelt beside one of those olive trees. I prayed by a large rock. It was where Jesus, I have no idea. But it was just the fact that I was there. Jesus heard an extremely hard word from the Father. And what was that word? I want you to give your life for everybody. You remember what happened? He takes Peter, James, and John, tells them to wait and pray. And he goes back, and they say that the anguish and the fear, caused sweat drops of blood to come from his brow. You say, well, that's not possible. Well, it is possible. It's medically proven that that can happen. And it happened. What was he afraid of? Oh, Jesus is never afraid. Why did he ask the Father then, if you'll let this cup pass from me? Have you ever been asked a hard word? God ever told you something difficult? Giving you something that there's just no way that you're going to be able to do that? That you think that's an impossibility? Father, if you're willing, take away this cup of suffering. But he went to the Father first. Could have gone to see his mom. Could ask Mary what she thought about it. She'd been there from the very beginning, actually before he was here. Maybe she knew what to do. Maybe could and got some commitment out of confidence from his disciples. How would they see it? What would they do with it? Maybe he could have assembled a prayer meeting or put it on the prayer chain. Wouldn't that have been something? He could have done all that. There's really nothing wrong with those things. Every one of those things are appropriate. But the most thing that he had was his priority, was to go to the Father. That's not our tendencies. I don't know about what your tendency is. I failed in that many times. What is our tendencies? What is the tendencies of people anywhere when they have something difficult? They go to the bar. Now, I'm not recommending that at all. We're not going to the bar today. We go get a self-help book. We go listen to somebody talk about how good we really are and God's got a plan for our lives. That's what we do. We always want to find the easiest thing. We go and we ask a friend. The problem is the friend that is closer than a brother, his name is Jesus. But how quickly do we go to him? Is he the first one on my list? Is he the one that I want to go to immediately and ask when something is laid out before? What is your will, Father? What do you want me to do? And that's why I'm asking. Is God's will my will? How would I know that if I didn't go to him? How would I know any of those things? We're studying in the book of Jude right now. In the 20th verse, it says, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's a great statement, isn't it? That's what we should be doing. Build up what? Yourselves on your most holy faith. Holy faith in what? Not in yourself. My most holy faith is in him. That's what I need to build myself on. But most of us develop our Christianity along our temperaments. Now, I want, you know, Margaret will tell you something. I can be very testy. Of course, you'd never believe that, would you? I'm so nice and kind of. And no one ever believe I'm sarcastic either. They wouldn't believe that at all. And no one believed that you would tell the truth either. I know that to be a fact, too. Oh, no, I'm kidding. We do that. We build among our tendencies along the temperaments that each one of us has. You know, there's some really wonderful people here that are very sweet. You know, even if they did not have Jesus, I still think they'd be sweet. That's their temperament. And some of you, well, no. I can be very dogmatic about it. I'd be dogmatic whether I had Jesus or not. Just think how bad it would be if I didn't have Jesus. That could be really bad. But the point is, what is your will in relationship to what God is saying? You'll come one day and you'll ask me, how can I find God's will? Can I tell you something? You don't need to ask me that question. You need to ask him. But can I encourage you? Your will knows God's will. Yeah, because he's in you. If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he is in you. We can develop the line of our thoughts and the things we do along God's line if God is in us. But what is most of us? We are those that are impulsive. What do? The first thing that comes to our mind. And then we stand on it because we got pride. We're not going to back up because we said it. This is the way we're going to do it. I'm going to stick with this thing because I said it. But that's not you. That couldn't be anybody in here, I'm sure. None of us would be that impulsive, are we? Are we the kind of people that God's going, if you'll just wait a moment, I'll show you the path? I already know the path. Well, get out there and blaze it for me, will you? I mean, show me exactly what you want me to do. Do you realize that when we're impulsive, we're stifling the very character of being a disciple that God is trying to work out in our lives? When you answer before you even think, when you go out to do something, and you can go out in the name of Jesus and try to do it. You can go out and say, I'm doing this for Jesus' sake. And Jesus is saying, not for my sake, buddy. Why? Because I've not spent the time in submission to him. I've never taken the time to find out what he wants. I've not spent that time because I'm not submitting to his divine will. I'm submitting to a practice that has been taught to us through the years over and over and over again. But then I have to stop and ask myself, am I totally dependent upon God's grace? Or am I just partially dependent? Am I willing to answer before God speaks? Am I willing to do all those kind of things? I think it's inbred. I say, if you've been in church as many years as I have, and some of you have far longer than I have, it's inbred in you. What do we want to do? We want to do the exceptional thing for Christ, don't we? We want to be, boom, let me play. I'll be the star on the team. Throw me the ball. I watch you guys play. You can't handle it. It's inbred to be exceptional. Do you know what God wants to be exceptional in your life? Do you know where God wants to be exceptional? In the everyday thing that you live, the ordinary. You know, you don't have to be exceptional out here in the world that everybody takes notice. We don't need to put a camera on you. We don't need to make you the big shot. We don't need the limelight. We don't need anything. In fact, God is saying, if you're only happy in the limelight, then you don't hear from me. I want you to live it out every day, every moment with each other. Aren't those your genuine friends? You know, they don't come around just when it's exceptional time. They come around all the time. They come around, they love you, and they do things for put up with you. Man, that's tough. Ask Margaret. She'll tell you that for sure. So is God's will my will? Do I do what God? Am I willing? I guess that's why I've got to ask. Am I willing to let God do me everything that the atonement, that the redemption has already done? You realize it all took place already. Jesus' atonement, his death on the cross, his resurrection, the shedding of the blood that made us who we are today, that we are believers, that we're followers, we're children of God. All of that's been, will we ever let him get to the possibility that he wants to do in our lives? It's a simple thing. It's a simple word. You know what that simple word is? Obedience. One day, not today. You get married today, I'll throw you out. It'll be okay. You'll get it one day. One day, there'll be some guy come along or some girl. Woo! She's hot. Okay. And you'll want to get married. Who's going to choose? You going to pray over that? You going to make sure that that is what God wants you to do? Anybody in here that I've performed a wedding for? Yeah. The one thing that I said to every one of them is that you're going to sit down with me and I'm going to counsel you. And the one thing that I said to everyone was that, ladies is something that they do not like to hear. Can you imagine what that word would be?
Obey.
You know why they don't want to hear that? Because they don't have a biblical understanding of it. Do you realize that obedience was based upon equal footing? Yeah. It wasn't based on a man beating on a woman or being, I'm bigger and I'm better than you are. No, it had nothing to do. Obedience in God's word is that we stand on equal footing. That's why Jesus wanted to come to me. That's why he comes to anybody in Christ on equal footing. We give over to him. The Bible says that there was a place in that you called me Lord and Master. And you said it right. We, from our hearts, without anybody pressing me, I know who my master is. Not because he lords it over me. Not because he's mean to me. Not because he said, because I can easily obey. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's a simple thing. I want to obey. Am I perfect at that? No, I'm not perfect at that. I mess up all the time. Do you obey? Ladies, if you ever ask that and you don't want to hear that word, don't ask me to do service. Just don't ask. And I have backed out of some. In fact, I told a guy one time, I don't think you really want to marry this woman. Ooh, that went over real well. But I tried to explain, it's out of love. The love that Jesus had for the church, he gave his life for it. You stand on equal grounds with that one that you're getting your spouse to be. Is your will God's will? Oh, flip it. Is God's will my will? Let me wrap this up. The Apostle Paul, he gives us something over in the book of Philippians, in the second chapter of Philippians. And at the 12th verse, he makes a statement. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I didn't think we were supposed to have a work salvation. I didn't think it was supposed to be that you show me, you do this work, everything works out. If you do more good works than bad works, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, your salvation is not as easy as you may think it is. Oh, it's all been paid for. Jesus did everything. But since he's done this in your life, work it out. Where's the biggest part that we have to work out? We've got to work out our will with his will. We got to agree with God that God is right. But there's something in my flesh that's always jumping up. I guess it's my disposition. I mean, that's a good term for it. It's one of those things that says, without God, I am powerless to do his will. I can't do his will. So when the Lord speaks to me, what does he do? He speaks to my conscience. You all got one. That's what God put in us way before we were born. So we came into this world with a conscience. The Lord speaks to the conscience. What does the conscience do? He immediately runs over and he jumps, he pulls on the coattail of the will and says, God's speaking. What do? They both come back to Jesus and they go, I agree. You may not see it right now, but your conscience and your will agrees with God every time. 100% of the time. You agree. He's right. Do you do right? Maybe not. But you know he's right. And you agree that he's right. Now, you may not do what you know to do, but you tell me, oh, well, Brother Jim, I just don't know if my will agrees with God. Well, if it doesn't, blow it up. Yeah. You know, it doesn't agree with God. All you got to do is look to Jesus. All you got to look to the one that lives within you. How can you disagree with the one that lives within you? And it never made sense to me. How is it that life can change, but you just got to look within of what the person that lives within you? I'm telling you, your conscience and your will agrees with Jesus every single time. But the reason that we're asking that question is because that term, we're obstinate. You hear it again, don't you? What did I mean by that? Well, you know what obstinate is?
Stubborn.
Perfect description. Where does stubborn come from, Howie?
Will.
From your will. But it's been added to your will, and it's called sin. It's a pride. You know, when Adam and Eve were created, they didn't have any of that. Being obstinate never even was spoken of at the beginning. It came as a product of the fall. That's exactly where we got to be obstinate. Know what I think about being people that are obstinate? They're just hardheads. They're going to do what they want to do. It doesn't make any difference what God said. It doesn't make any difference if God reveals something to take place, if you've already thought that you're going to do what you want to do. How are you going to answer to God for that? What are you going to say to God one day when you finally wake up and you realize that you've been wrong? What can we offer the Lord at that point? I've already told you. God's will is my will. If I've been saved, I just need to wake up to the fact of the one that's living within me. He will prove out that will within me. Do you know that you had a will before you had sin? You ever thought about that? God placed within everybody a will. He did it in Adam, did it in Eve, long before sin ever came around. You see, the will is foundational. What's in you right now that makes you choose what you want to do? That's a foundational thing that God gave everybody. He created us with it. It was sin that came along and ruined it. It's sin that made me choose something that was other than what God wanted. It's that perverseness. It's about that disposition that entered into man at the fall of man, right there in the garden. This is what took place. But what did Paul happen to write onto the Philippians? The next verse that he writes in 2 and verse 13, he says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." So what do we have to do? We need to work out what God has already worked in. Into our lives. God's already put it there. We just need to work it out. Work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Not because I'm afraid of God, but because this is what God is requiring us to do. Agree with Him, not only because my will says it, but because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And when you become a Christian, that is what you're supposed to be doing. Agreeing with God. Will you always do that? Nah, probably not. But it's just because you're obstinate. Just because you're a hard head. Just because you're prideful. Just because we all like to do what we like to do. If I could get rid of that obstinance in people's lives, I'd just go get some C4 and we just blow it up. Wouldn't that be cool? Just blow it up right there to be all done. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit can blow it up for you? Yeah. The Holy Spirit can wipe it right out. Take it right away. You won't have to worry about it. So let me finish this. Do I believe in God Almighty? Do I believe that He can do anything? And the source of my will came from Him? Hello? Anybody home? It does. God placed that within me at the very beginning. He knew me before the foundations of the world. Every one of us has a will. And God intentionally said, I want to line that will up with mine. But you'll never get there unless you recognize who it is that gave it to you. Do you recognize what God wants to do? Now, God not only expects me to do his will, he's going to be right there to help me do it. What did I say? Out of his presence, there is no power. You can't do it without him. I can't do it without him. Have you ever heard a hard word from God? God ever asked you to do something that you just felt like, I just can't do that? If you haven't heard that kind of a word, can I tell you something? You probably haven't heard anything else from God either. He's speaking. Are you listening? And sometimes we hear the word, but we don't hear the word. Oh, it's spoken, but we think it applies to our brother over here, but not me. He's not talking to me, is he? I'm not talking to any one of you personally. But what I am saying to us today is that we've all been given a choice. We call it a will. How you live out your life is based upon that will. But you had the will before you ever felt sin. God gave us that grace in our lives, that strength, that joy. He provided every bit of that before sin ever came. And we need to rejoice in the God-given will that he gave to each one of us. And know that when he reclaimed us by his blood, when he made us who we are today, because we received the blood of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God, he once again cleansed that will and he restored it to where it was supposed to be. Now, you having an issue with God? Well, God's not hard-headed, you are. You want to know what God wants you to do? Hello, God. Can you show me what it is you want me to do? Ooh, that's a novel thought. Pray. You already know what God wants you to do. Your conscience knows it. Your will knows it. All you have to do is line up that obstinate disposition and say, I will follow you. Is God's will my will? That's the way God intended it to be. That's why he saved you. That's why he restores us back to the original form that he wanted us to be. That's why he made heaven for us. Yeah, he did all those things. For each one of us to recognize what he wants to do in our lives. And it's a joy. He is making us the kind of children that we should be, that the fellowship will remain sweet. That's what he's doing every day. He's showing us that every day. Is he showing you that? Is God's will my will? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that will be revealed. God's already done the work. He has. He's already put it in you. Satan's the one that's been lying about it. The Word of God never lies. It's already in you. When are we going to acknowledge it? When are we going to wake up that God is working in our lives every day? We need to wake up to that. Let's pray.